In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. My bank sends me a birthday card every year. I'm sure that somewhere, at some time, someone read that it's a nice thing to do as a personal touch to send that card. Now, a lot of the birthday cards I receive, I put on the refrigerator or place on the fireplace mantle so I can enjoy them for a while, but the one from the bank always goes right into the recycling bin. It's because it's a generic card that's prompted by a computer to tell someone who doesn't know me from Adam that they should send a card. Perhaps it's just not very personal, or perhaps it would be more accurate to say that it feels artificially personal. There's something troubling about living in a world that's filled with artificial intimacy. There's something troubling about a world in which companies send their employees to seminars about how to make their customers feel like they're valued or feel like they care about them. Here's a novel idea. If you want your customers to feel like you care about them, then care about them. That's the way of the world. The church is called to be different from the world. At the close of the letter to the Hebrews, the author lists a few marks of the Christian life. They're the things that separate us from an impersonal world. And he starts by writing, "Keep loving one another as brothers and sisters." The New Testament often speaks of the church as the family of God. And Jesus encouraged us to look at the church in this way when he said that my brothers and my sisters are the ones who are following me. And that can all sound very idealistic until you consider what it's really like to love your brothers and sisters. Loving each other as friends is a lot easier because we get to choose our friends. Brothers and sisters are bound together because of their parents. They have no choice in the matter. Our Heavenly Father has chosen us to be his children. And he never asked our opinion about the other people that he chose. So we're kind of stuck with him. Yet in our love for him, we can discover love for our brothers and sisters. And I've seen this kind of love in the church. In the truly caring church, we don't accept one another on an equal basis. Instead, we accept one another on an individual basis. Because an equal basis would demand that we all behave equally. But an individual basis means that we accept one another's weaknesses. And we make room for one another's quirks. And we provide space for one another to express their gifts and what they bring to the church. And when someone is hurting, we can see that people in the church gather around that person and support them. And we don't always get it right. But in the church, it needs to come naturally that we express this love for our brothers and sisters. And it's not just within the individual community. It'd be easy enough to segregate ourselves into cells of mutual affinities, but we're called to have a love that spreads beyond the local community to our brothers and sisters throughout the world. And sadly, there have been many attempts for one segment of the church to separate itself from the other, whether it was the Great Schism in in the 11th century, or the Protestant Reformation in the 15th century, or more recent attempts where people have tried to separate themselves from one another. But the reality is we can't separate ourselves from any member of the body of Christ, because we're brothers and sisters. We have one Father. They're part of the church, whether we like it or not. They're God's sons and daughters, and therefore our brothers and sisters. So keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. The second mark of the church that we find in the letter to the Hebrews is hospitality to strangers. In the early church, this was critical for the expansion of the church. As the apostles and the evangelists went out, they were dependent on the reception that they received from other people within the church. There weren't many hotels in that time, and the hotels that there were extremely expensive, and they were also places of ill repute. And so the Christians, as they went out to spread the gospel, stayed in the homes of other Christians. And that goes back to that loving each other as brothers and sisters, because in the Israelite culture of the time, it was very common that you would have relations throughout all of the land of Israel. And so as you traveled, you could contact your distant family member and say, I'm going to be there, can I stay with you? And they'd say, yes, of course. Your family, you have to stay with us. And it didn't matter if you hadn't seen them, or your parents hadn't seen them, or your grandparents had never seen them. The fact that you were somewhat distant relationships meant that they would take you in. And the author of the letter to the Hebrews is telling us that's the way the church is. It doesn't matter if you know the person or not. If they're a Christian, they're part of your family. You have to take them in. When I was in college, I went to a church that had a special outreach to college students. And there were families in the church that would invite students to get away from the dorms for a while. And they'd invite them over for a home-cooked meal in the evening. And the families that were really great would say, hey, you can bring your laundry along. And you can do it here, and you don't have to use machines that use quarters. You can just do it here. But the best thing about it was great to get out of that college atmosphere and meet people in the real world. And they took an actual interest in us, and we could take an actual interest in them. And there was a sense of family. They showed hospitality to strangers, people they'd never met, just because they were fellow Christians. A third mark of the Christian life is care for those who are in trouble. And specifically, the author of the letter to the Hebrews speaks of those who had been imprisoned or tortured because they were Christians. And in the earliest days of the church, when it was possible, Christians would pool their resources to buy the freedom of Christians who had been imprisoned. And when they couldn't buy their freedom, they would raise money to take food to them. That's one of the reasons that we support Voice of the Martyrs every year. We may not personally know people who are imprisoned for their faith, but we can support our brothers and sisters in Christ in the other parts of the world who are suffering for the sake of the gospel. We can do something to help alleviate the suffering that they're going through. But we can also do this in a more personal level when we do things like go to the Metanoia Hospitality Center and provide not just a meal for our brothers and sisters, but also ask how we can pray for them and invite them to a prayer time and have conversations with them to let them know that they're humans and we're humans and we want to know their concerns. And And we do this when we go to Eliza Jennings and the nursing home ministry and provide a service for Christians who the rest of the world wants to pretend they don't exist, but we join them in that suffering. We do this when a member of our church is in a financial pinch and we're able to help them through that situation. Remember those who are in trouble as though you were in trouble with them. The fourth mark of the church is fidelity. The author writes, "Let marriage be held in honor by all." In ancient Rome, marriage was often more of a financial or political arrangement than it was a relationship of love. It wasn't uncommon for upper classes, the marriages to be dissolved if a better political or financial opportunity presented itself. And as a result of the fact that these were financial and political relationships, romantic relationships often took place outside of the marriage relationship. We're not the first culture to have trouble with a high rate of divorce and a high rate of infidelity in our culture. Now, there are legitimate reasons for the dissolution of a marriage. However, in a culture in which people will divorce because they hope that a change in spouses might help them find greater fulfillment and happiness, or they seek fulfillment and excitement in a relationship outside of their marriage, the church can show a better way. We can show that marriage is something that we honor. It's something that's important to God and something that's important to us. And it's not just a relationship of convenience, but it's a relationship of love. It's a relationship in which we bind ourselves to one another. And finally, the author of the letter to the Hebrews says that contentment is a mark of the church. And I've seen more than a few articles recently about the dissatisfaction with life that's created by the social media. When we see a steady stream of pictures of people that are having more fun than we're having, or achieving a higher success rate than we're achieving, it's easy to become discontent in our lives. But the truth is, most people have a pretty normal life. So don't let their press releases make you feel that their life is always an exciting vacation or that a new pinnacle of achievement is always coming their way. Because after all, no one posts things like, "I drove to work today." But the other thing he says is, we have the most exciting thing in the world. We have a relationship with the living God who has promised that he would never leave us or forsake us. And he says that relationship is the source of your security. It's the source of your contentment. So keep your eyes on him and that relationship, and not on what others have or what they do. And if you do that, you'll find contentment, which is a mark of the Christian life. These are the things that the author of the letter to the Hebrews says set us apart from the rest of the world. In a world where there's false intimacy, the church offers genuine relationships. In a world that looks away from those who are suffering, the church embraces those who are suffering to give them relief. In a world that's constantly seeking more, the church offers the one source of lasting joy and peace. In a world that so often proves false, the church offers what is unchanging and true. our relationship to God through Jesus Christ. So remember your relationship of love with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Remember to show hospitality to the strangers. Remember those who are in trouble as though you were in trouble with them. Remember to hold marriage in high esteem and be content in your relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is today, who is the same today and yesterday and forever. I share this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.